Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord. It was just a few months ago that I made the difficult decision of moving my parents out of their home and into a community where they would receive the level of care and be safe that they needed. And of course, when you move someone into a new community like that, you make a lot of visits initially, getting things settled and dropped off and getting everybody everything that they need. There was one day where I stopped in the morning to drop off some things from my folks and was dressed up with the suit and the dress shirt and the tie. But in the evening I stopped in, and when I went in the evening I had on the shorts and the tennis shoes and the t-shirt and the ball cap. And after I'd spent some time with my folks and I'm walking out, one resident said to me, "Your brother was here this morning. And he dresses a lot better than you do." I said, "Yes, he does." But I've noticed a pattern anytime I walk through the lobby of Oakleaf Manor, because there are usually many residents sitting there watching people go by, and they think that they're whispering to each other, but they're not whispering to each other. And one time as I'm walking there with my mother, the one resident goes, "Look how big and tall that guy is, and that little teeny lady next to him." I guess probably my favorite was the one resident who said, "His legs are just way too skinny." It does sort of seem like when we go through life, where ever we go and whatever we're doing, that there is someone that is there judging us, pointing out what we're not saying right, how we're not dressed right, what we're doing wrong. We live under the pressure of being judged regularly. And I am wondering what the difference would be in life, that if instead of us being regularly judged by others, the people around us would advocate for us on our behalf instead. That is the image that Jesus puts in front of us in this text. A shift from being judged to having one who advocates on our behalf. The Gospel of John intentionally sets forth the belief that Jesus is God. And you can read in the Gospel of John that the writer is intentional about providing examples for how we know that Jesus is God. And you can see the seven miracles that Jesus performs in that gospel text, from the turning the water into wine, through healing, to calming storms, to culminating in raising Lazarus from the dead, all as those amazing powers of Jesus. But it's easy to get stuck on those miracles that Jesus performs, and then we lose sight of the larger understanding of who Jesus is as God. It's established early in the gospel. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That as God, Jesus takes away the sin of the world. This text from today comes from the last section of Jesus' life, the Last Supper that Jesus eats when he's teaching with his disciples and he's praying for his disciples. And as it comes to a conclusion, we move into the section then where Jesus is betrayed and Jesus is arrested and Jesus is crucified. The reason he is crucified, so that our sins may be forgiven. Now, if it were about dying to forgive sins, that would be something that we could all accomplish, to die in order for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus does more than that. He's raised from the dead, and he establishes the forgiveness of sins as something that is universal for all people, in all places, at all times. Jesus is God, the one who takes away the sin of the whole world. It is important to make the distinction between Jesus and people. There's all of this wonderful circular language that appears in this text and throughout this section of John, that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, and back and forth. And if you believe me, you believe the Father. And you can get sort of confused because you feel like you're getting stuck on this merry-go-round as you read through that text. But it is part of a greater technique that the writer of the Gospel of John uses, which establishes the fact that there is a relationship between God and Jesus. There is a relationship between Jesus and people. There is a relationship among people, and then there's a relationship between people and God. And what we learn in that connectivity of all of those people and divinity is that when someone does something, it has an impact on the other. That being changed by the other person. It happens in normal, everyday engagement with one another. I know it's happened significantly in my life in the 11 years that I've been here, that my life is different and better because of my relationship with you. But even though we have that interaction that leads to change, we need to be careful to draw a distinction between Jesus as divine and human and people as human beings. We are not divine. We are human. I was into superheroes big time when I was a kid. Superman was my favorite superhero growing up. And I can remember waking up early on a Saturday morning to watch the Super Friends. My parents telling me, whatever you do, don't turn the TV up too loud because we won't want you to wake us up. Also took me a long number of years to realize that Superman's uniform was red, white, and blue because I was watching it in black and white when I was growing up. I wanted to be just like Superman. And I had my mother make me a cape so that I could be like Superman. And I figured now, since I had the cape, I should be able to fly. So one day I put on my cape and I went out to a fence that we had to test my ability to fly. Now, somehow I wasn't 100% confident in my ability to fly, so I didn't go to the house roof instead. I just went to the fence, and I got on the fence, and I stuck out my hands, and I pushed off just the way Superman did, and boom, face flat down on the ground. To quote my mother-in-law, who used to say, "You fell like a turd from the tall cow's behind." It was full of many colorful phrases. It was then that I realized I was human. I wasn't a superhero. We are human. And being human means that there are times when there is great joy present in our lives. There is time when there is happiness that just runs through our lives. There's times of playfulness and frivolity. There's times when we worry. There's also times when that anxiety level gets so high and so strong that we're not even sure we're going to be able to make it through the day and get done what we need to get done. And we can feel those darker moments in our lives as well, wondering in the middle of the day why we can't see the bright sun shining upon us. The waves of anger that come through us, they're all part of being human, a natural part of humanity. Nothing wrong with having any of those feelings. The challenge is, though, that sometimes when we are overwhelmed with anxiety or despair or anger, start grabbing hold of things that we think will help us, but actually bring more harm and danger to ourselves and others. Start believing in idols, things other than God. And in doing so, our relationship with God comes broken. If you look at the Psalms and some of the prophets, you'll see a recurring theme of a courtroom, where in the courtroom, God serves as the judge, and God serves as the jury, and God serves as the prosecuting attorney, and then people are the defendants, but there's no one defending humanity. They have no way of defending themselves in front of God. But notice what this text in the Gospel of John does as it changes that scenario. Now in that courtroom, people have an advocate, one who will come to their defense. And that advocate is Jesus, the Son of God. When we see Jesus, we see God, and what we see at that moment, that we will be forgiven of all of the times where we have failed and trusted idols and have broken down. And that forgiveness is for all people in all places at all times. The one who forgives is the one who advocates on our behalf. I have to wonder then how things would be different this week if we set aside the regular practice of judging what other people say, judging what they do, how they dress, how they act, what they believe. What if we set the judging aside, took on the practice of advocating for others instead, defending their actions, giving them the benefit of the doubt, interpreting their actions in the best possible light? I dare say that relationships and families and workplaces and communities would see a spirit of life at work in them that would not come from any other source than the very power of God. And